Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. If you want to check us out on TV. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. That's the foursome. And join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline to talk about the sign-stealing scandal. It's David Sampson, former Marlins team president, now an analyst for CBS Sports HQ. Good morning, David.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing all right.
What's the impact on Major League Baseball after this investigation? How big of a black mark is it?
Well, I don't know if it's a big black mark, but it's not going to go away anytime soon because right now they're dealing with the fallout of actually suspending a manager and a general manager, having them fired. Now they've got to release an investigation of what happened with the Red Sox, which could result in Alex Cora of the Red Sox getting fired. Then you've got players who are coming out and are beginning to sort of say, listen, it's not just the Astros and the Red Sox. This sort of thing has been going on for years with many teams. So the question is, at what point do you stop investigating and just cut it off and realize that sign stealing is something that is very common? And what you're really punishing teams for is violating a written rule that baseball had sent, a written memo that baseball had sent to teams, and changing the narrative in that way.
Which said that you cannot use technology to do this. We all understand that sign stealing's happened forever.
And it's part of the game.
And it's part of the game. But when Major League Baseball tells every team, okay, hold on. All right, we get it. You got away with it for a while, but no more technology. And then you still do it, and you continue to do it? I mean, how stupid are these guys?
There are so many things that we all do that we're not supposed to do all the time. I can't even tell you. I could give you a laundry list of things where we're looking for any small advantage we can find on the field, off the field. We're doing deals back in the days when we weren't allowed to do sponsorship deals with casinos, with gambling, right. We're always calling baseball and saying, hey, listen, this is a company that's not really gambling. It's sort of like DraftKings when it first started. That was not allowed, and then it became allowed. Indian casinos weren't allowed when it first started. Then it was allowed because so many teams were doing it in order to raise revenue, let's say. So it's not like the U.S. Constitution, right? We're looking for ways always to, maybe people are looking to change that too, I guess. But we're always looking for ways to try to work within the rules that we know exist, but go as far as we can in order to get an advantage, either on the field or off.
So do you think that the penalties are harsh enough?
Nah, you're asking whether it's a deterrent, given that that Lunau and Hinch got fired. Does that mean that all other teams will stand down? Let me ask you, when players are suspended for a year or for life for steroids, does that mean they stop doing them?
I don't know. I think
I don't know.
I mean, I think some of them have. I feel like performance enhancing drugs is not what it was.
I do not.
So do you think, so hold on. So you think this is going to continue on some level?
Yes. I think that is what we do. That's what teams do. Yeah. You look for advantages. You know, you want to win an extra game. You want to find a way. Do I think that there'll be trash can banging again? Absolutely not.
Right.
But it's the same thing, right? We have to take the underwear bomber in airplanes, now people check the underwear, or the liquid bomber, you can only bring in 3.5 ounces. That means that if something bad's going to happen, it's going to be done differently. It's the same concept. Obviously, we're not talking about human life.
Right,
the point is, the people are always looking. If one thing is said, don't do it again, fine. You look for something else.
Okay, well, if they get caught, maybe the penalties will be deterrent for some people. That's why I'm wondering if you think the penalties are harsh enough. Should they have fined them more, fined the Astros more? Should they have docked more draft picks? Should they have banned them from postseason this year? I mean, is it harsh enough where other teams say, all right, well, whatever we were doing, we got to stop it?
So it's a tough question you're asking, because the biggest on-the-field problem that happened with the Astros is losing the first and second round picks in 20 and 21.
Right. Huge,
that has the biggest impact. The $5 million doesn't matter.
Right.
They're going to find a new manager. They're going to find a new general manager. Life will go on. They'll play 162 games. If they had started suspending players,
yeah,
that impacts on the field. But you can't do that because you've got to deal with the players' union, and they're protected by a union. Could he have made Jim Crane sell the team? That is the ultimate deterrent to make an owner take responsibility for what his team is doing. But he can't do that because the commissioner needs 23 owners to vote for his compensation and to continue his contract as commissioner. So it's a very tough situation that all commissioners find themselves in. So when you say, is it harsh enough? The answer is, it's pretty harsh.
Mm-hmm.
It's historically harsh. However, I don't believe it's a deterrent. Those are two different things.
Right. Well, the next penalty might be double that. But let me ask you this, and I heard this morning, I didn't realize this. Did Major League Baseball try and get out in front of this year by putting a 10-second delay on the monitors in the dugouts? I heard that this morning.
Well, there are not 10-second delays on the monitors in the replay room, because the replay room is what is used in order to decide whether you can challenge.
What they
do have is an employee, a Major League Baseball employee, who's actually in the replay room during the postseason to make sure there's no nefarious activity going on. However, that said, the way to actually stop any sort of replay rooms problem from happening is you have an employee, Major League employee, there every game, and you don't allow players ever to go in the clubhouse by mandating having bathrooms outside of the clubhouse near the dugout and literally closing the clubhouse. But the point is, if you do that, they'll find another way to try to steal signs, however they can use them. So it really doesn't matter whether there's a 10-second delay in the replay room or on any monitor in the TV, because you're just going to look for another way to gain an advantage.
Talk to David Sampson, former Marlins president, MLB analyst for CBS Sports HQ. Here's my outside-the-box thinking, or maybe it's not even outside-the-box. Maybe others have talked about it. But if you watch an NFL game, a coach can talk in the earpiece to his quarterback. The coach is talking to his coordinators using the headset. Has Major League Baseball ever considered that, where, you know, every player could have a little earpiece set up so that their coaches talk directly to them and there's no actual signs with fingers or anything like that?
Yeah, it's actually something I talked about on my show, Nothing Personal, with David Sampson, which you can download and subscribe to. That's exactly what we talked about in the competition committee, some sort of communication in that way. MLB is developing that. One of the players I spoke to cynically said, we'll just find a way to find the channel and hack into it. And you know what? If you can interfere in that, good for you. Go do it. But that is a great way to do it. You sort of cover your mouth and call a play or a pitch into the pitcher's ear. I think we can accomplish two things, and no one's talking about this. We've tried to get pitchers to wear helmets for years, mm-hmm, in order to protect their heads from comebackers. It's possible that we could mandate that MLB could mandate minor league pitchers to wear helmets, and in those helmets can be the technology of the earpiece where you can hear the catcher and you can hear the dugout. And then as those minor leaguers graduate to the major leaguers, they will have those same helmets. It's like the NHL when they started mandating helmets. There was a grandfather clause for the players who grew up, like Ron Duguay, never wanted to wear a helmet because of his great hair, the New York Ranger. But eventually everyone wears helmets. So I think MLB could absolutely do something like that. It's a great idea.
So, David, a year from now, what is the job market going to look like for A.J. Hinch and the general manager, Jeff Lew, now? Are they going to be toxic because of this, or is it just like you said, like so many teams are doing this, they're just the ones that got caught at this point?
I think that the market for Jeff Lew now is not going to be great, having nothing to do with the fact that he was suspended for a year. I think that there was not a lot of love for Lew now because of the sort of the way he carried himself and the way he acted as the president of baseball operations for the Houston Astros. But they also have their tentacles around the game, meaning the people who have worked for them are now in baseball operations departments on other teams. Do I think that it's possible that Jeff Lew now could get back into an organization as a start as a scout, as a special assistant? In that way, yes. Will someone hand over the reins to him? I do not believe so. A.J. Hinch, same thing. I think that his first step will be to come back as a coach at some point and then see if he can eventually become a manager again. But this is not they definitely took a hit for this, and there aren't a lot of teams out there crying any tears of sadness.
So when baseball investigated this, they talked to 23 players. They obviously talked to Lew Now and Hinch. Hinch, correct me if I'm wrong, Lew Now said he had no idea what was going on. Hinch said he didn't condone it, but he kind of looked the other way. And if that's
the case, he broke a monitor or something like that in a fit.
If that's the case with Hinch, why wouldn't he go into his clubhouse and to Beltran and all those Cora and say, look, fellas, we can't do this. If we get caught, they're going to come down hard on us.
They're going to
drop
winning.
The hammer. Was he that desperate to win that he looked the other way?
Have you ever seen two worse statements? I'm going to be talking about that on today's show. Mm-hmm. The statements were a joke. They were opposite, right? Lew Now was not contrite at all. He was blaming low-level employees, and he called out Alex Cora,
right,
not even by name, calling him his bench coach. Just pathetic. As for AJ, can you imagine that somehow he consulted anyone in the PR world who suggested it was a good idea to say, yeah, I didn't really know, I knew, but I didn't condone it, and I tried to break monitors, but then it kept reappearing,
right,
as though that just happens out of thin air. And then I didn't speak to Jeff Lew Now or to Jim Crane about it. I spoke as president of a team for 18 years. I spoke with my manager every single day. Spoke to the GM every single day, and every owner does too. And for any owner or president or GM to claim they don't, they're just lying to you.
Right.
So the question is, if you're A.J. Hinch, give me a break.
All right, so he knew. All right, well, then if he did, he should be banned. A.J. Hinch should be banned from the game. It's my opinion.
Well,
and you know what? Cora should be fired today for the Red Sox. And then Beltran, what are you going to do with Beltran in New York?
So keep in mind, they are not doing any discipline to players.
Yes.
That's a whole separate thing. They came out and said, we are not taking any action against players. I'm also going to discuss that on the show because that the player's culpability is a real thing here that needs to be talked about, but they're protected by the union. As for Alex Cora, I would suggest to you that the odds are pretty good that he will not be the manager in 2020 for the Boston Red Sox. Mm-hmm. But as for banning the players, lifetime ban a la Pete Rose for the gambling, this is an integrity issue in some ways, but it does not rise to the level of a manager betting either on or against his own team or throwing a World Series game like the Black Sox did. Mm-hmm. There is no way. Rob Manfred's statement had a lot of sort of PR in it, but one thing that I completely agree with that was accurate, there is zero way to prove, zero, that this system they had of stealing signs had a direct correlation to them winning games. There is no way to prove that.
David, great stuff. We enjoy always talking to you. It's David Sampson, former Marlins president.
Thanks,
check him
Dave.
Out on CBS Sports HQ.
Good
Thanks,
stuff,
pal.
Buddy.
Have a great day. Thanks.
Yep,
bye.
You too.
Coming up next, we switch gears with the national championship going down last night, the college football season wrapping up. We're going to turn to the NFL draft. Trevor Sikkema covers the NFL draft for the Draft Network. He joins us next here on the Junkies.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Coming up a little bit later in the program, we'll talk to Bobby Carpenter, former Ohio State Buckeye, NFL linebacker, now an analyst with ESPN, about the LSU win over Clemson. I just saw a stat on ESPN that Trevor Lawrence had 13 overthrows last night.
Yeah.
That's a lot of overthrows.
Yeah, he wasn't good.
When I've seen him in the past, like, I don't watch college football.
He had two really nice drives.
Yeah.
And one of them resulted in a sack where he had to punt it, but he had two really nice drives where he kind of just marched down the field. And I thought one of the biggest plays was that pass interference at the end of the first half. That was huge on the 3rd and 19.
The offensive pass interference.
Yeah. No, the defensive pass interference on LSU's receiver. It was out on 3rd and 19, I believe.
Okay.
And the offensive pass interference was T. Higgins. Yeah, right. That was big. It was 42-25 at that point.
Yeah.
So maybe they creep within 10 there, but he wasn't. I mean, they were all tight throws. Those DBs for LSU were all over the Clemson receivers.
Yeah. Look, he's going to be the number one pick next year. He's got the prototypical size, and I was blown away still by that run in the previous game. Like, I didn't know he had those type of legs.
Yeah, he can run.
Both of
them can run.
I was shocked at how athletic Burrow was. Not when you knew his family history. His mom, they said, scored 82 points in one game in college in basketball.
Yeah, and I think Pete came in here before just to correct myself. And Eric heard the same thing. I said that Joe Burrow, it's amazing. He was a two-star.
They meant to say two sports star.
He was a 3 or 4 star.
He was apparently a 4 star according to Pete.
Yeah. But they did say
on the broadcast that he was a 2 star.
They meant to say two sport. Yeah, but yeah. they also mentioned that he wasn't recruited by Nebraska, right? Was where his dad played. Dad and brother, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously recruited by Ohio State and a bunch of other big schools. So they were kind of low. They were lowballing him a little bit.
Think of how crazy it is. He entered the season, like, I keep mentioning this college fantasy draft. He wasn't drafted. Cakes, you're in this college. He wasn't even drafted.
Well, the numbers were nondescript last year.
He was an afterthought.
He was drafted. I guess they brought in Brady as their passing coordinator to work alongside their offense coordinator. They completely changed their offense. He went from what they said was going to be maybe a 4th round pick to the top pick.
If I were LSU, I would be sprinting to Joe Brady's office to give him the biggest raise I'm allowed to give him to keep him there as long as I can.
Yeah.
He's not long for being an offensive coordinator or passing game coordinator at LSU.
Didn't I hear Matt Rhule was open to hiring him as the OC?
Right. I mean, his name has been bandied about.
He's going to be in high demand.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, to turn around an offense like that, just completely change it in 1 year, is crazy. And to get those kind of results.
Yeah,
because LSU was always known for having great athletes and being super competitive, but they couldn't score.
But playing tough defense and being always a run-first team. Just look at the backs that have come through there in recent years. With Fournette, Geis.
Yeah,
Kevin Falk, guys like that.
And you kind of saw what Tua did for Alabama, because once Tua got there and Hurts was more of a running quarterback.
Right.
He could throw it a little bit, but he wasn't as accurate as Tua. But then once Tua got in there, Saban said, all right, let's spread this out.
Right.
Sarkisian said, let's spread it out.
Let's open it up.
We got these stud receivers that are 5 stars. Let's use them. And, if you have 3 or 4 of them, it's going to be tough to stop. And LSU did the same thing this year. Brady came in and just spread everything out. They have a legit back, so they got good balance, but they got a great quarterback. You got to score points. So you wonder if teams are going to look at it like the Georges of the world and say, all right, we got to change what we do. We can't just run.
Oh, yeah.
And hope that we limit teams to 14
adapt.
Points.
They have to. Yeah. Otherwise, they're going to get they're going to be underneath the wheels of teams like Alabama and LSU.
LSU last night was, I know they got off to a slow start in the first couple possessions, But, man, they outscored Clemson 38-7 after that 17-7 lead. And they were unstoppable. Couldn't stop them.
Took them a quarter or so to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Once they did.
Burrow said after the game, I just saw a quote that he still didn't know where the blitzes were coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But just when he got the protection,
they handled
it. He took deep shots. That's the thing. I was most impressed by the deep shots being right on the money to Chase.
Yeah. Very accurate.
Well, I mean, he completed 80% of his passes this year. He was just incredible. It's the best season you'll ever see. I don't think you'll see a season like that again.
Yeah, like
60
I said,
touchdowns.
The statistics which I saw crazy. On Larry Brown Sports this morning was last five games, three against top five teams, so against the best competition, 22 touchdowns, no picks. He threw for an average of 394 yards per game. Also had two rushing touchdowns and 155 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm.
That's just absurd.
I'm sure that Cincinnati won't do it because they're cheap, but I would see whatever, you know, if Carolina's going to hire Brady, I would say we'll double whatever they're going to give you so you have the smooth transition so you can coach him in, not only in college, but in the pros too.
Isn't their head coach, though, an offensive guy?
I wouldn't care. if I was is Zach Taylor,
yeah.
I would say, well, I'll bring him on.
Right.
You know what? He can be my offensive coordinator. I'm fine. You know what? He needs the help. Look at what he did in his first season.
Definitely needs the help.
I don't know that he has enough leverage to say, you know, who comes in and who doesn't on his staff at this point.
By the way, did A.J. Green...
Didn't play.
Missed the entire year? Yeah.
Entire year.
Yeah, so his stock's going to be up with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, and so's Boyd's. Boyd will be their number one. He had such a good year. I just looked at the potential of pros that were on that field last night. I mean, obviously Lawrence and Burrow are pros, the number one picks. But Etienne's a pro. Hilaire's a pro. All the receivers
Chase
from LSU.
Jefferson.
Yeah, so is Marshall. Ross is a pro. Higgins is a pro. I think that Galloway kid's going to be legit for Clemson.
Probably every starting defensive lineman for Clemson is a pro.
I mean, Simmons, pro. Yeah. He's a first-round pick. All the DBs for LSU, they're all going to be pros. I mean, it was an NFL game.
Yeah.
I mean, is it Delpit? He's Delpit. Like a top five or top seven type
Fulton,
pick.
Delpit, Stingley, all those guys. Wallace. I mean, they're just Chaisson, just pros everywhere.
It's going to be different next year, just a little side topic, right? Because CBS doesn't have the SEC anymore, right? I can't remember. Does ESPN have it now?
Does that start next year?
I think so.
I thought that might have started in 2 years.
Oh, you might be right.
Let me see. Let me check that out.
CBS TV package?
After the 2023 season.
Yeah. Oh, after the 23. Okay.
Yeah, so
a couple more years. We got a couple more years. All right. That's going to throw me.
You got a ways to go on that.
That's going to throw me.
You just hope
me.
You're alive in 2023.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
That's the key,
I don't
baby.
Take that for granted.
Did you watch any of the other coverages? You know, they have so many.
No.
I watched
just the
a
main.
Little of Coach's film room, but it gets a little annoying. It's very interesting. It's just that you don't get the full screen because they're watching like a screen and they have different screens.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to hear them just talk about like setup shock or EB had a major spill again on his computer.
I might have just felt in my computer because I got the water on it.
Oh, really?
That pissed me off.
That sucks. I watched a little bit of that before pregame.
Okay.
You know, like 4:30 or 5. And they were just kind of breaking down film from the team's previous games and the playoff games. But I didn't watch it live.
Maybe I'm a dinosaur. Just give me the regular call.
I mostly watch the regular
eight
call.
I don't different
But I'm
setups.
Curious to check it out. So one of them is like sideline guys like Pat McAfee.
Yeah.
And I forget who else was there on the sideline. And then they have the coach's film room, which you had Gundy.
Yeah.
Becomes too distracting. I just want to watch the game. You know what I mean? I mean, those guys are good. Sometimes I've watched it with the coaches. Who were the coaches that they had?
Gundy and Halfley.
Gundy was the big one last night.
Yeah,
Halfley's the guy from Ohio State who got
Derek
the BC
Mason was
BC
one of the guys
job.
There.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't know.
I watched it on DVR, so I obviously didn't watch that because I wasn't switching channels.
Yeah. No, I just watched the regular.
Perfect. But my thoughts were with Burrow finishing just an unbelievable year, winning the Heisman, undefeated, national championship. The Redskins are one pick away, EB. One pick away. They have the number two pick.
Right. Well, Chase Young is supposed to be that once-in-a-generation type player, too. So, you know, if they stick with the number two pick and select him,
they should be just
fine. I'm still
going to worry, though, about Burrow. I'm still going to worry he might be a system guy. That it could just
What does he lack? At him, what does he lack? He's got the size. He's got the arm strength.
He seems to be
he's
the
got
complete
the touch.
Package.
He's got the accuracy. He just wasn't utilized
he's
right last year.
He's
yeah, I think
all.
He's got it all.
Yeah.
But, I agree
but again,
with you.
You don't, but you
I would
don't
be
know.
Worried about the system thing.
I'm going to worry a little
he's
bit.
He's not going to throw 60 touchdowns
no,
next year.
I,
of course not.
I would be worried a little bit just because he wasn't that highly regarded just a year ago.
I know. That's
and,
the difference
know,
in Joe Brady
sometimes
coming in.
These guys in certain systems
yeah,
and certain
system.
Offenses thrive, and then it doesn't necessarily translate to the next level.
I need to see whether it's a fluke or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would be a little worried.
Didn't now, look like a fluke to me.
I wouldn't pass on him with the number one pick.
No, I think you have to take a chance, especially now that you're not paying these guys what you're paying them 8 or 9 years ago.
I think the interesting thing would be, had Tua not gotten hurt.
Yeah.
And he had finished his season healthy. Maybe he wouldn't have won the Heisman, but he was putting up great numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I would still take
would
Burrow
it be
over Tua.
Or Burrow?
Oh, I'd take Burrow. Just bigger, stronger.
Is he that much bigger and stronger?
Looks like it to me.
He's probably got,
like, he's not Trevor Lawrence size.
No, he's probably
6'3".
Probably.
He just looks like a big, strong, sturdy kid to me.
He is.
Tua just looks like, I don't know, a little slighter. I don't know. Tua's very accurate.
I bet you he's probably got 3 inches on Tua.
Yeah, he's actually listed as 6'4".
Yeah, he's probably got 3 or 4.
Burrow looks like a big, strong, solid guy.
But again, you don't know how guys are going to translate in the NFL. I mean, it's a whole different
world.
You
never know. But he looks about as good as anybody you've seen coming out in the last few years.
I agree.
If I had my computer, I'd go through.
I totally agree with that.
Go through. Just give me the top quarterbacks the last 4 or 5 years that have come
Baker
out.
Baker was number one a couple years ago.
Right.
Lamar Jackson, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold.
To me, he looks light years ahead of Sam Darnold.
That was that draft class, right? It was Baker, Darnold, Rosen. I miss one. Josh Allen. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson were all first rounders.
Correct.
And then this year, you had.
He looks like a more
Haskins.
He looks like a more accurate version of Josh Allen almost.
And you had Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I mean, look. You look at the stats that the guy put up, and it's easy to say this is going to be, you know, the next Andrew Luck. But there's so many changes from LSU to the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you're going against NFL players every single
week. He's not going to throw 60 touchdowns. It might be 20-10, but I think he's going to be fine.
I think he will be, too.
I think he'll be totally fine.
By the way, I mentioned earlier, so Rick Snyder wrote kind of a hypothetical column. You can check it out at thefandc.com or follow us on Twitter at Junks Radio. There's a link, one of our previous tweets, to that article. So there are all these people that are in the Chase Young or bust camp.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's saying in the article is maybe you should consider drafting Tua. What if Joe Burrow slipped? As a Redskins fan, do you want to be in that Chase Young or else? Or are you willing to actually consider some of these other options?
Oh, I'd do anything. Whatever. I don't claim to be an expert. I would do anything. So if there's some great package to move down a few slots and still get a great player, that'd be fine with that. Joe Burrow's not slipping. Just take that out of the equation. Rick Snyder wrote that before the game last night, right?
Yeah.
There's no way Joe Burrow's slipping. There's just no way.
He wasn't going to slip even if he had a bad game.
Yeah. There's no way that's happening.
I mean, who would you rather have, Burrow or Kyler Murray?
Probably Burrow. I like Kyler Murray, but
I'd rather have Burrow than Daniel Jones. I'd rather have Burrow than Haskins. I'd rather have Burrow than Drew Locke.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather have Burrow than...
Darnold.
I'd rather have Burrow than Mayfield.
I think I'd rather have him than Mayfield.
Yep.
Yeah.
Darnold, yeah, same deal. Yeah. But, you know, Darnold coming out had all the numbers.
I want to see how Mayfield...
6'4", strong arm,
how Mayfield adapts to Stefanski. Because I think he was hamstrung by buffoon Freddie Kitchens calling the plays for that 1 year. I think he might have a little rebound next year.
Baker's solid.
A lot of question marks with these guys. But I agree. I'd rather have Burrow than most of these guys that were taken in the last few years in the first round.
Yeah, but as far as what the Redskins are doing with Chase, if you could package a bunch of guys and move down maybe just a few slots, I don't think I would be in the Tua sweepstakes at this point.
No, but maybe Miami, who's number 5, I believe.
That's who everybody has picking Tua.
Doesn't want to miss on Tua. Maybe they move up. So we move down to the number 5 spot. Now, at the number 5 spot, you know, Chase Young's going to be picked because it'd be Burrow, then it would be Tua, and then in all likelihood, Chase Young either 3 or 4. He's not going to stick around until 5.
Well, everybody loves the other DB from Ohio State, Okuda, right? Everybody loves
Jeff
him.
Okuda.
They have him going 3 everywhere.
Now, I'd probably still want Mahomes over Burrow.
So definitely. That's proven.
Yeah. And Deshaun Watson.
Probably, yeah.
I would.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not as big a Watson guy as you are.
Yeah, I'm a big Watson guy.
I mean, until he puts 4 quarters together in a huge game, you just let me know when the first time he does that. I'd rather have Mahomes, definitely.
He did it in college, and that's all you've seen from Joe Burrow.
All right, but that's all we can judge him on now. We can judge Watson on
4 quarters of a good game in the NFL level.
He's just saying in the NFL playoffs. Dude, that's what he's
Watson's such a third and fourth quarter guy.
Yeah, he's a garbage time, bring the team back guy.
But isn't he also hamstrung by Cakes' favorite coach, Bill O'Brien?
Well, absolutely.
Maybe. I'm just telling
definitely
you.
Definitely is.
I'm not as big a Watson guy as some people, but I think Burrow, it's easy to say I'd rather have Burrow, and I'm saying it because of the year he had, but it's going to be a big transition. Let's see how he does, you know, going against NFL DBs.
But I'll be perfectly happy to select Chase and go from there.
I honestly think EB is the first time I've ever said this in the air. It's been 25 years of you spelling.
Yeah.
We should invest in some sippy cups for you.
Huh.
You just can't handle regular cups.
Yeah, I don't care.
Just give him a baby bottle.
He's knocked over drinks twice in like the last 4
shows. He's going to be bitter
when
he has to take that to the Apple store. No. They got to put the paddles to it.
I think I might have salvaged it. But that you want to damage your computer, spill water right in the middle of the keyboard.
All right, so what happened with Trevor Sikkema? Did he just bail on us?
He didn't answer.
He's sick of doing shows at 7:30 in the morning.
You know he did.
He stayed up late and watched the game.
Watched the game.
Except he got to sleep in.
He's punting.
We had to wake up.
Yeah, he forgot. All right, what do NBA champ Quinn Cook, Jaren Jackson, former Maryland great Melo Trimble all have in common? They all attended Coach Wooten's basketball camp. Coach Wooten's basketball camp, their goal is for campers to love basketball even more. They instill confidence. They teach the game. The kids have fun. They teach all day, every day, 5 skill sessions per day. They work on your basketball IQ with competitions. They've got contests. They bring in guest speakers. They got 3 games per day. Instruction is the difference at Coach Wooten's basketball camp. Register today, CoachWooten.com, spelled with 2 O's and 2 T's, CoachWooten.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. We'll get back to the national championship game between LSU and Clemson at 8:20 with Bobby Carpenter, covers college football for ESPN. But we mentioned earlier, and we talked a little bit about it yesterday, EB had his surprise 50th birthday party this weekend at MGM National Harbor. And it's a big year for all the Junkies. EB's just up first. His birthday is actually February 6th, so to me, part of you being surprised, too, is it was kind of far out from your birthday.
So she did a great job with it.
It's not really on your radar, you know, 3 or 4 weeks in advance of the hitting the big 5-0.
Oh, it's been on my radar.
Okay.
It's been on my radar for a long time.
In terms of sniffing out a surprise party.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I thought maybe you had sniffed it out because you were asking about MGM and there was just talking about getting a hotel room, but apparently you hadn't. Legit surprise. I thought there was a chance you were going to show up and just act like you were surprised.
Nope.
But I know for a fact you're not that good of an actor.
Yeah. No, I was stunned. I actually put a quick video that my daughter took when I was walking in. You can see I totally was stunned.
Yeah. So Anyway, it's a big year for all the junkies because we turned 50. It's just one of those big markers.
Huge.
You know, 30, 40, 50.
I mean, there's so
50
much.
Is really the beginning
it's
of the
big
end.
Milestone. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you better pretty much start planning your death.
Well, there's a new study
yeah.
that says that actually the exact age when you're most miserable mm-hmm. in life, and it makes some sense, but it's 47.2 years old. So you're beyond that. You're actually now on like a
like a happiness
on a U-shaped curve.
Mm-hmm.
You're like the most happy supposedly in your 20s.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like the college years, kind of living free.
You don't have a care in the world.
You don't have kids. You don't have responsibility.
You don't think about your mortality.
I was eating
at 20.
Chili and cheese dogs every day.
Right,
Mountain Dews.
You still look good.
Salt and vinegar chips. You know, pizza. Chicken wings.
And then according to this study, you get a little more miserable as you're approaching 47. All of a sudden, 20s and 30s, you get more miserable. Then 40s, you get more miserable.
Huh.
Well, and then now, though, now you're on the way back. That like. By your 70s, you're as happy as you are when you're in your 20s.
Oh, I find that very hard
because
to believe.
You become more grateful of the things that you have.
We've accomplished.
You have a little more perspective in life.
I know my stress level stuff is like raising kids. I'm at peak raising kids time right now. You know, when they're in their teenage years and, you know.
It's the most financial responsibility you have. You might be making more money, but you have more financial responsibility because you have three kids, three potential colleges to go to, all that sort of thing.
I'm fine with finances now. It's when we get fired where I'm going to be doomed.
Right.
I'm good now.
But at least
when we get fired, I'll be sure.
My point is it weighs on your mind that you have to be set for those things.
Not too much. I'm not worried about that. I'll be fine. I ain't living anywhere. But I don't know. Stressful. Life's stressful. I don't know how it gets much better. I've come to grips with life only getting worse.
So you don't buy into that you're going to become happier.
No.
Now that you're beyond that perfect age of 47.2, you're most miserable.
I don't believe in that bell curve. I think what I've learned is that life only gets harder and more stressful. And then your friends and family, they get sick and die.
Yeah.
And then you get sick and die. And
well,
then,
see, that's why.
To me is just life.
I was going to say, that's why life at this age is worse, because the people who are older than us that are in our family.
Yeah, you start losing all them.
Yeah, I lost
and then you're
mom,
next.
You lost your dad. I mean,
right.
Then you start looking around.
Aunts and uncles. When you're in your 20s, you're not thinking about that.
No.
I agree. It's a life, tough. It's a tricky time.
It's only going to get worse. And then as you get older and your maladies start to, mountain on top of each other. I mean, it's just
a show. In some ways, you can enjoy certain things in life that you probably weren't able to do earlier.
Like
in life.
What?
Like, for example, Jason. He's gone to Pebble Beach. Like, these are things he could have done when he was 20.
Fleeting. It's a fleeting. It's a nice week he had. And then he came back.
Nice. It's a distraction.
Right back to his hell life.
That's nice. But, I mean.
Right back to the mirror every day.
I wouldn't call life hell. Think about that.
Right.
You call life hell.
Stressful.
Stressful. That's a little different than hell.
Okay. It's not hell. Not burning in hell, but it's stressful.
The homeless. That's life in hell.
Sure. But hopefully they're
I know.
Hopefully
you just paid $5,000 for your 50th birthday party.
Yeah,
$5,000.
I didn't choose to.
Well, I know, but you were able to.
That was a surprise.
That's my point.
Yeah, I was surprised by that.
Hey, you got a little skinny pop on your.
But you were able to. Is my point.
Yeah. No, I told you I'm good now. But when I get fired, I'll be hurting. It'll be more stressful. Life is not that great. It has fleeting moments of fun.
It's better than the alternative.
It's better than being dead,
we all know
I suppose.
That.
But I can understand why people are depressed. I'm depressed. No. I think life is stressful and only gets more stressful. As aging really hammers it home for me. Because you can do less. Every day you could do a little bit less than you could the day before.
Aging does
every day. Every day you look in the mirror, you're a little bit more hurting every day. You don't get better looking.
Just don't look in the mirror a lot. Just avoid the mirror.
I try not to. Believe me, it's not
just
a pleasant.
Just walk right by it.
It's not a pleasant sight.
You get caught by.
Yeah.
But you got to, because you got to shave. You got to brush your teeth.
Yeah, shaving, yeah.
You got to look
do
in the mirror.
Whatever.
If I could go through life without looking in the mirror, I would. But, you know, you got to make sure your belt's proper. You got to make sure your shirt's tucked in.
Yeah.
You got to brush your teeth.
Yeah, but what do you want to do? Why do you really care about?
You wear sweatpants every
why
day.
Do you really, when I go anywhere.
What belt are you talking about?
When do you wear a belt?
I don't really look in the mirror for this show. But life, this is fake. This doesn't even count. I get up in the morning and come do the show for 4 hours, and then I go home, take a nap, reset. Then I have life. This is a joke.
The only belt you're going to wear is
this
around your neck. The only belt you're going to wear is around your neck.
Right.
Hanging from the garage door.
Exactly.
Spoiler alert. Wow. I mean, I've never seen the movie. I care if I spoil it for other people. Right. What do I care? I know how it ends.
Right.
Now you know.
It's a remake of a remake.
It's been done 100 times, that movie.
It was good, though.
All right, let's go to DePompa.
If you say so.
DePompa's going to chime in on this.
Hold on, I get him.
Is he as much a pessimist as some of you guys?
He can't be.
Or realist. You could call it a realist. Let's go to John. John, what's up, buddy?
Hey, boys. How we doing?
What's up, John?
What's up?
EB, okay, you don't pay for any meals. You don't pay for your cell phone.
I told you, financially, I'm fine. I'm fine financially, but that's nothing.
You live in the bougiest hell of all time.
Imagine
you work 4 hours a day, you go home, take a nap. I mean, I love you. I'm not joking. I listen to the show. You've provided me with years of entertainment. I'll take it the wrong way.
Yeah.
But your version of hell is so soft.
It's my version. I'm the one living it.
That's my point.
Other people have it worse. Okay, of course, a billion people have it worse.
But did you prefer life? Did you prefer?
How about this? Hold on. I think it sucks for everybody.
Okay. That's your opinion.
Sucks for them, too.
Did you prefer your life when you lived in Savage, Maryland, in like a two-bedroom apartment versus now?
I preferred my life when I was in my 20s and I didn't have a care in the world. Yes.
Okay, but at that point, I think you have a care because you're married, right? You're married. You
didn't have that much of a care.
You're not making really much money. You're living in a two-bedroom apartment.
Perfectly happy.
More happy than you are now?
I had cable. I had DirecTV. I had everything I needed. I had NFL package.
He's definitely anti a guy that I talked to last week who's 53. He said the 50s are the best time of his life.
Really? Yeah.
Maybe that'll bear out.
Some people are just generally happier.
All I see is doom and gloom. That's all I see.
Yeah, but you're saying you're stressing out about a lot of like the parental responsibilities.
In
10 years, you're still a parent, but they're going to be kind of out on their own. Some of them might be married.
Then, in 10 years, I'll really be stressing out about all my maladies if I'm lucky enough to be alive.
See, I don't view life as hell like you do. I mean, but
I view it as hell. Don't hold me to that. I'm just doing a radio show. It's not hell, but it's hard. It's stressful.
Of course it is. It's stressful for everyone.
Exactly. I'm not saying that we're unique.
But I just get sad thinking about the passing of time.
Of course.
That's what I get. I don't view it as stressful as much as I view it as sometimes sad because my kids are getting older.
To me, that's all the same.
The passing of time is really...
To me, that's all the same. Sad, stressful.
It just hits home.
How much money would you give to go back in time so you could actually cry when you're giving your kids a bath, like the old days?
I'd give a lot of money for that.
Yes, he would.
Absolutely, John DePompa. I would.
Yeah.
All right, Jason. Well,
you know what, DePompa? I look at my buddies who have really young kids, my cousins. Like my cousins who have, you know, 6 and 4 year olds or younger. And I'm very jealous of them. I'm very jealous. Now, they're jealous of me because of my 401k.
Right.
I'm jealous of them because of
their lifestyle.
Have a midlife crisis. You can have the midlife crisis baby like me and JP did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I have a 9-year-old, an 11-year-old, and I got a money newborn.
Yeah.
Yeah. You pressed the reset button.
Congrats.
I sure did. Pretty smart. I just got my health insurance bill. Pretty smart. I have a kid.
But let me just say this.
I'm not with you, John.
Every time I come in here, I try and find a way to be happy.
Sure.
And just to be happy for the next
quarter. That's good for you.
But Bickle will definitely bring me down.
He drags you down.
When he talks about
you
this.
You love Bobby McFerrin.
Please don't play that song.
That's different for you. Because you used to come in and be negative. See, you had therapy, so I think it helped you.
I did go through therapy.
I think that helped you.
Yeah.
That's what Bickle needs.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna consider it.
It just depends on what stage you're at, because I was a mess when my mom was sick and when she passed away. I can't believe she's been gone for almost 5 months.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
But when I think about her, I get sad. But I told myself I wanted to be happier as a person every single day because of everything that happened. And I just can't go through life just thinking about all the bad things.
Yeah.
But when I come in here... Eric brings me back down to that point.
You know what you need? You need to hit some more winners. You need to pick some more winners that'll make you happy.
I hit the Caps and Blues parlay yesterday.
Very good. Nice. Somebody gave you the Blues to play.
No, I picked the Blues myself. I leaned.
Big surprise, you picked the Blues.
But don't you ever, E.B., do you ever have that perspective? Like, you could be a school counselor. Like, let's say the Junkies didn't happen.
Thank you, John DePompa.
You could be grinding it out at a school, You know, not that there's anything wrong with that. Your brother's an
all
educator.
All my family are an educator.
Yeah, it's because you'd be an educator, but you'd be grinding out the hours.
My job, I mean, I know this sounds, it's easy for me to say, but this doesn't determine my happiness.
I know, but you know, but my point is if you keep
it in
perspective.
I would be happy doing a lot of jobs.
If you keep it in perspective, maybe you're a little more grateful, and the gratitude brings you a little more happiness.
I am grateful.
He's just saying that it adds stressors. Other stressors.
I'm grateful. I'm just saying.
If you're waking up at 4:30 to go to your 9-to-5 job in D.C., you don't get home till 7:30. You know, that's a stressor.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm uniquely stressed. Everyone's stressed. If you're not stressed, you're in denial.
Can somebody give this man some Kava gift cards? immediately.
You know what you and I need? I don't even. You might be on meds.
I'm not.
I think you and I need meds.
But I'm talking to somebody soon.
Because I'll tell you why. I've got a buddy who felt
this. I'm talking to somebody soon.
And I don't know the name of the med. My wife's on them.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure she's happy you threw that out there.
Well, millions of people are on meds. Okay. Anti-anxiety and whatever.
Sure.
Antidepressants. But I was talking to my buddy who was feeling the exact same way that we feel. And he said, the meds have changed his life.
Really?
Yep.
Hmm.
He thinks about only the good things. Whereas before, he's thought about all the bad things when he woke up. Now, he doesn't even think about the bad things. He just thinks about good things.
See, that's what I was trying to say. You just have your perspective.
That's a good term.
It's not perspective. It's also how you're wired. It's not just perspective.
You focus on your Pebble Beach trips and
it's how you're wired. It's a chemical thing. It's not just like, oh, I got some great perspective.
100% too.
It's a chemical thing, the way your brain is wired. Believe me.
Right, but the meds will change that wiring.
If it takes a pill to make you feel better...
I've taken pills before in my lifetime, but I haven't in probably 5 years. But I need to.
God, what's the name of the med she's on? It's a real popular one.
Prozac?
No. It's not Prozac. Zoloft. A lot of people are on Zoloft.
I think it's something similar to that. Yeah.
I've had Zoloft before.
I'll be honest with you. My wife's as happy a person that I know.
Really?
Every single day. Happy.
Yeah.
Never down about anything.
Right.
She decides to watch Ellen.
Loves Ellen.
I just don't like.
She's watching Netflix every day, laughing in the bed.
Right, Netflix.
All
right,
I can't tell you how many times she wakes me up laughing in the bed because of some show she's watching.
Right. I'll tell you who's not happy that we're still on right now.
Who?
The guys in the back.
They're fine.
Matt and Matt. All right,
you know
take
what? They'll get over it.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.